To be back with all of you. I know. I get to share today's message. I'm so excited, and we start a brand new sermon series, Short Stories by Jesus. And I also want to acknowledge one more time the phenomenal Melinda Hale. Melinda was able to arrange all those guest speakers that came during the summer, during our summer sermon series. And she arranged all that, and what a blessing. What a blessing for the Harmony Faith community as we continue to live into and find ways of doing church differently. Notice what I just said. Doing church differently. Not perfectly, differently. Also, what a blessing to the Harmony players. Yeah. Led by Rev Dave. And sharing their version of what may be a familiar story for many of you here, a few of you at least, and it's commonly referred to as the Good Samaritan story. And it's a parable, that's what we would say in church speak, a parable. And for the most part, a parable is a succinct story that provides us with one or more, I would say, moral lessons or spiritual lessons. And on the one hand, a parable, it comes across sometimes maybe simplistic. It's like pretty easy, you know, short and sweet, thank you, Jesus. And where we may go, oh, yeah, I got that. Let's go on to the next one. And you got to be careful there because I'm going to say not so fast. Because just when you think, oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I hate to break it to you that there's more, typically a lot more to the got it. And as I've learned over my life and to what guest speaker A.J. Gibson referred to last week in his message, what we get out of scripture passage like this one today is not necessarily going to be the same get that we get when we read it again at a later date. Why is that? Because as time passes, life circumstances change, just like we do and just like the world does. So we're going to start off today, and we're going to head right into this morning scripture passage from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And it all starts off, as you saw, with a legal expert. Now, and I'm going to get into the meat of the passage, but this is a very important start, this legal expert. And he stands up to test Jesus, but we don't know that it's a test by his initial question. It comes across as very sincere, like an inquiry, right? It says, in fact, this happened to me, I'd say, maybe 3 weeks ago. Same sort of question. Here, in this instance, the legal expert, he says, teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life? And then I heard sort of a similar question from a community member, and they said, hey, Mark, what do I have to do to get to heaven? Sort of the same line of thinking, right? However, there's a difference, because the legal expert had something in his back pocket at the ready. Because when Jesus says this, and he says, well, how do you interpret what is written in the law? Well, you see, he has no hesitation with his answer, and he immediately goes right to the love commandments, and it says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your being, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. To which Jesus says, pretty much, he just says, okay, go and do likewise. Do this and you will live. All right. Now, in essence, I really want to stress this, that this is more than just a one-on-one conversation. In fact, there were many people around them that were listening to this conversation. And this is what Jesus is saying, is everybody, I want you to understand that this is how we live. This is how we live now in this moment, that it's not just a specific action, that it's about ongoing relationships with one another and others. And to be clear, very importantly, to be clear, first century Jewish audience right here, they already know this. They actually already know this because the love commandments come directly from Scripture. It's Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19. It's not new news. This isn't new news. Basically, what it says is love neighbor and stranger. Love neighbor and stranger. However, you know, that lawyer, he just has to take it another step. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, that's, you know, it's an interesting question because here's this learned man and he is well-versed in the Torah. Well-versed in the Torah. And he quotes from Leviticus 19:18. But he just happens to seemingly skip past 33 and 34 of the same book. He just skips right on past that. And I'm going to read that to you. And it says, when immigrants live in your land with you, you must not cheat them. Any immigrant who lives with you must be treated as if they were one of your citizens. You must love them as yourself because you were immigrants in the land of Egypt. Not passing judgment. Just saying. So for this guy to be asking, who is my neighbor? It's a polite way, way of saying who is not my neighbor, or who doesn't deserve my love, or whose lack of food or shelter can I ignore, or whom can I hate? Because you see, he would rather prefer to be with somebody like himself, just like him. Make sense? Yeah? So here's what first century Judaism also knew. The society there was ordered by boundaries. Boundaries in how Jews should treat others not like them. So, like Gentiles. Or, just calling it what it is, how men should treat women. Because of the boundaries that were set up for certain, certain privileges, positions of power, maintaining these boundaries was vital to social order. I'm going to emphasize this because it was a duty, it was a religious duty. It was a religious duty. Well, leave it to Jesus. Leave it to Jesus to just turn it up on its head with social order. Because when he gives this answer of who is my neighbor, this is when the shoe drops and jaws drop along with it. Because like then, the same is applicable to today. Today. When we move into this short story about the Good Samaritan, which is probably the most, I would say most popular, probably is the most popular of his parables, I want to tell you, when I was in deep reflection about this story, and today I'm a little bit more low-key than I may normally be, so bear with me. But when I was reflecting about this story, I want to tell you that when I was in deep reflection about the story, I heard a voice. Now, don't be sending me off to the funny farm for pastors, okay? But in all seriousness, I heard a voice, and it was interesting, and it said, "What about me?" I was like, "What?" The voice said, "What about me? What about me?" And so, you know, I'm reflecting on the whole of the story, and we've got the priest, we got the Levite, we got the Good Samaritan, but then what about me? And I was like, all right, let me think about this. What am I? All right. And then I started to think about it, and I realized, oh, yeah, I get it. Let's take this story from a different perspective, at least initially. Let's all be in the position of the person who encountered the thieves. How about that? The individual who was stripped naked, who was beaten to the to a pulp like it was a hate crime, who was left for dead. What might that have been like? And I got to tell you, at Jesus, he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy because by doing this, what he did is he got the crowd around him to identify and empathize at that juncture. Because you see, the man in the story who encountered the thieves could have been one of them. Hurt, naked, barely alive. For the person, if you look at the gospel story, the person lacks identification. All you know is it's a man. That's it. This person could be poor or rich, could have been slave or free, could have been lay or priest, could have been nice or naughty. Seriously, we don't know. All we know is that here's some man or everyone, and that a violent crime has been committed against this person. That's what we know. So I want you to imagine what that must have been like as the story unfolds. From the person in the streets perspective, let's go with that. I want you to imagine being this person, hurt, naked, barely alive, on a rocky road. Imagine what that felt like. Imagine what they went through, ebbing in and out of consciousness, having some sense of what happened, but not clearly. You're wondering why you can't move. Your body aches horribly. You've got this horrible headache. You can't quite remember what went down. It's all sort of fuzzy. And there's such pain. And also, you feel ashamed. You feel ashamed because everybody can see your business. And not only that, you feel doubly ashamed because inside you're saying to yourself, I knew better. I knew I should not have gone down this road alone. I should have gone down this road with someone by my side. Imagine being able to only see through one eye, maybe a tiny sliver, and here's what happens. Hey, there's a Jewish priest. I can see, I can barely see, but that's a Jewish priest, and he's come before you, and you give thanks to Yahweh, and then this, because you know this priest is going to help you, but then he walks away. This priest walks away. Well, that bites, right? Hey, wait, there's another person. Another person is coming over. You can't quite make it out. This person stoops down, and suddenly you realize, hey, that's a Levite. Thanks, Yahweh. Boy, now I'm gonna get saved here, and then he walks away. What's wrong with you people? We're alike. I look like you. We're the same. Wait, there's another person. So you imagine this, there's another person now, and they're starting to walk over to you. And you pray, you just pray, your rescuer looks like you. You're praying for that. You pray to be lifted up and just taken away from this mess. And then this man stoops down, and that's when you see your enemy. You see your enemy. Immediately, what do? You cringe inside because now that feeling has gone from I'm going to get help to I'm going to get further harm. I'm actually going to get killed. This is it. I'm done for. And this person, because this person that is before you is a Samaritan. This person comes from a despised religion. He's not an Israelite. Your kind does not get along at all. You actually hate each other. You're rivals. So imagine now this mixed emotion that is going on. Well, I want you now to imagine that this strong man who is not like you, so says society and others, that this person now is starting to carefully place bandages on you, caring for you, and then lifts you up and puts you carefully on a donkey and takes you to a nearby inn. The person that's been said to be your enemy is caring for you. why is he being so nice? Why is he actually showing you mercy? Now, you talk about a transformative moment. And then that we've been told the spies, the Samaritan, someone we don't know, he takes someone that's not of his kind, quote unquote, and he takes them there to that inn, and here's where he cares for a stranger. Isn't that an interesting reversal? For here is the immigrant caring for the citizen. The Samaritan not only cared for him in that moment, but continued to care for him beyond that moment. Wow, that's really, truly interesting as well. Beyond that moment, gives 2 full days worth of wages, and then even says on top of that, I'll come back. I will come back to care for this person who I don't know, I've been told my enemy, and I'm going to care for them to make sure they're restored to full health. This is where then Jesus turns to the lawyer and he says, what do you think? Which one of these was a neighbor to the man who encountered the thieves? And you can almost hear the grimace. You can almost hear that reluctance, the words that are coming out of that legal expert's mouth when he says, the one who demonstrated mercy toward him. He can't even say Samaritan. He calls him the one. But he got it. He finally got it. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Well, that story probably went over like a ton of bricks. Ton of bricks because the Jews and Samaritans had quarreled for centuries. Centuries, my friends. They were enemies, serious hated enemies. And here's Jesus playing this card. Wow. As Amy Jill Levine, she's a professor of New Testament studies over at the Vanderbilt School of Divinity. I read this, and I'm telling you, just wait. She writes, to Jesus' Jewish audience as well as to Luke's readers, the idea of a good Samaritan would make no more sense than the idea of a good rapist or a good murderer. I gotta say, when I read that, I was like, what? What? A good rapist or a good murderer, that gave me pause. I was like, man, that's intense. Right, Luke? Right? And then it made me consider, would any of the Jewish listeners, actually refuse aid from a Samaritan? Not of their own religion? Would they have refused that? Right? Or even if one of their own had passed by? And for further consideration, who might we refuse aid from? Who might we refuse aid from? Would we refuse the hospitality, care, support, and love of someone deemed unworthy or deemed as the other, a foreigner, where boundaries have been set? Or would we refuse to give aid to the other? Yet here's where Jesus boldly and bravely stands before them and says, all boundaries have been abolished. All boundaries have been abolished. Those walls of separation have come tumbling down, and hate and fear can no longer exist. Period. End of story. Jesus, down and out. Now, I'm wondering how that would go over today. Yeah, I wonder how this scripture is going to come back and say it's the same then as it is now. This one is the same applicable principles, right? Right? But might some folks take offense or try to weasel their way around this like some Christians? Hate to say it. Yep. My friends, here is where we must make room for others as well as ourselves. Here's where we've got to make a concrete choice in how we live and treat those around us. And I'm telling you, in all the messes, in all the difficulties, in all the challenges of which we are within or we may have created, do I make neighbors or do I just pass them by? Right? Do I make neighbors or do I annihilate them? What is Jesus telling us to do? Demonstrate mercy, go and do likewise. Demonstrate mercy, go and do likewise. Demonstrate mercy to those leaving situations of desperation for whatever reason, economic, violence. Let's not be indifferent toward the others, those forgotten, to the marginalized, to those who are considered enemies. Let us not allow them to die of hunger or thirst. Let's not push them away. It's time to drop whatever weapons we may be holding or using, physical, verbal, in whatever ways that may be, and bend them into plowshares. Bend them into plowshares, something that's actually useful. I'm talking about a love that manifests itself into action to care for the migrants, care for the persons of color, care for those who identify as LGBTQIA, those of varying religious affiliations, those who are different than you, than me, than us. Whatever leads to and whomever is deeply hurt by alienation or disenfranchisement, it is time for us as Christians who are to live into the gospel call to love our neighbors as ourselves, period. Amen. And as Ashley Tucker, God bless her, as Ashley Tucker put in a post on Facebook in a reference to 9/11, it said, in the end, the only things that matters is each other. We are stronger when we come together. We are stronger when we choose love. Something else I want to share is when we often talk about compassion, to have and feel compassion, I want you to notice what I just said, that is a feeling. Yet, if it is truly felt, then it leads into an action. Through compassion, we act with mercy. Through compassion, that feeling, we act with mercy. For the lawyer and for Luke's readers, the Samaritan does what God does. The divine is manifested only through actions, our actions. So I ask you this week, take time to read and ponder Luke 10, 25 through 37. And when you're doing that, I want you to relate to which character is there that you can relate to. And I'm just telling you straight up because at any given moment, my friends, you, me, we can relate to the priest or Levite. I hate to say it. Sometimes we can be the priest or Levite. You may relate to the Good Samaritan. You may relate to the innkeeper. You may relate to the legal expert. Any moment. These are moments when we are definitely one or the other. Just own it. But we also know what we're supposed to do is informed by Jesus. And I want to take a step further and look at that up there on the screen because I'm going to push us. I want you to think about someone, an individual or a type of person whom you consider or you have considered as an enemy. As an enemy. And then I want you to read aloud to yourself at that juncture and you say, Luke 10, 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your being and with all your strength and with all your mind and love blank as yourself. And that's when you fill in the blank with your enemy you have identified. And then you read that verse a second time and a third time slowly, allowing yourself reflection between those repetitions. And after that third time, I want you to visualize yourself performing some concrete act of mercy toward your enemy. I conclude with this. Something else for you to think about. Do you think that there was a bond that was created between the Samaritan and the person who was encountered by the thieves? Do you think there was a bond that was created? Because I believe there was, wholeheartedly. That, at that juncture, was a forever lasting bond of inseparability, of not going it alone, of separation. That was a transformative, I'm not going to be the same person ever kind of bond. A gap that once existed has been closed. An ongoing relationship was now created in this instance where mercy saw only need and responded with compassion. Let us pray. Heavenly Creator, thank you for this opportunity for us to have this story impact our lives. Help us to move forward into living that out of loving our neighbor as ourselves, to break down the walls of any boundaries that separate us. Bring us together and help us understand and live into what it means to have ongoing relationships in the messes and the challenges and all the muck and mire of life that we create and others create. Let us bring love in and choose love. Choose love. May our compassion lead in to mercy. Amen.
Harmony, please stand, pass the peace of Christ with you.